we didn't play as a team. I played by myself, and then I see it right now and I say like, what did I say?
What's up, everybody, and welcome along, EuroLeague fans, to another episode of your favorite podcast, EuroLeague and Friends. My name is Lisa Ramoschkat, your German host of the day in this cross-cultural conversation that we're having every Tuesday. We're talking about basketball from 9 different EuroLeague countries, giving you a different perspective on what's going on and off the court. You already know the ladies, and today with us from Belgrade, Serbia, is the amazing Aleksandra Radivojević. Alex, I was just thinking, if I pronounce your name wrong, that will have to double check. Yeah. What's up, girl?
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing great. No worries about that. What's up, EuroLeague fans? I'm so happy to speak again with you girls and with one of our special guests about everything that happened in the EuroLeague.
Well, coming to the special guest in just a second, from Kaunas, Lithuania, with us today, Asta Žukaitė. What's up, Asta?
From Vilnius, Lithuania. Yeah, I'm living in the capital of Lithuania. So yeah, it's so great to be with you again and chat with Mateo.
We are, for sure. And as you already gave away, we have a first outside guest, a special guest today with us, the first ever player on EuroLeague and Friends. We're so excited to have you. One of the most exciting combo guards in EuroLeague. He's with Alba Berlin right now and one of the best young players in the competition. Welcome and good morning, Mateo Spagnolo. Are you ready? Are you maybe a little bit nervous to be the first ever guest, the first ever player here with us too?
I mean, I've played against Partizan and Red Star, so I can't really feel this kind of pressure right now. But for sure, it's a blessing, and I'm really happy to be your first guest.
Let's have a look at what we got on the menu today. Obviously, we have to talk about El Clásico, the game that had everyone lose their minds. We're going to speak about the MVP of the month. It was just freshly released. We will have a look on Lonnie Walker's impact on Žalgiris' game. Excited to hear especially Asta on this one. And as Mateo already said, some of the most exciting teams in the EuroLeague are definitely Zvezda and Partizan. They won both their matchups, and Alex, you know, this is Alex's home turf. We will hear all about it. But obviously, Mateo, we're going to have a special look on you and on Alba Berlin. And maybe we can start out with that as well, because it's a special situation for you guys in the league for sure. But let's look at you first. You've been actually a Madridista from 2018 through 2023, right? Went back to Italy, played with Cremona and Trento, and now are with Alba Berlin in your second EuroLeague season, which is our favorite competition. So maybe you can just start out and share with us what these 2 years have been like for you.
In this year in Berlin, the second one, I gotta say it's a little easier because you already know the guys, you already know the coach, the way they want to work. Let's say probably right now we're not in the situation where we wanted to be at the beginning of the year. We are, we've had a couple of injuries, a couple more bumps through the road. Yeah. But yeah, for me personally, this second year, I feel like I've been able to show even a little more my everything I can do on the court, because I mean, last year I couldn't really play the whole year because I had a foot injury. But I personally feel good. I feel good playing. And I mean, we got to get the team rhythm back, that's for sure.
So last week, we had a really big discussion between Lona from France and Denise. Lona said, it's definitely going to be TJ Shorts. And Denise was like, no, it's going to be Nigel Hayes-Davis.
When I see, you know, TJ Shorts play, it's like poetry, you know.
And then Nigel Hayes-Davis with Guduric and Ballsy Carlton, they've been killing it.
Let's have a round of guesses from you guys. Who do you think it is?
I think Nigel Hayes-Davis was one of the candidates when the fight in our podcast happened in the last episode. But speaking about him, I think he played like maybe the worst game this season for him in previous rounds. So maybe he's out right now. But I will feel very free to say Filip Petrushev. I don't know, what do you think about that?
Oh, wow, okay. A whole new name to added to the discussion. Asta?
I'm going with TG Short, so I can't wait. Just please say the name.
Okay, we'll have to hear Matteo first. Matteo is closer to the whole league, to everyone out there on the court. What's your feeling?
I mean, I feel like for the one of the biggest stretches of wins that I've seen so far, 8 wins in a row, and he's been carrying the team, making up crazy numbers and playing at a high level basically every game. He hasn't missed a single game. Like, he's always performing very well. And I mean, for me, I think it should be TJ Shorts.
For the MVP candidates, I think like Nigel and TJ, they both deserve a crown.
Sure. I mean, Nigel Haynes, everybody has seen him. Like, this season, he's been showing off the whole season, putting up crazy numbers. I remember the game that he played against us last year, he had 50. So I mean, he's a crazy player though, but I still stick with TJ Shorts.
Yeah, guys. And I'm sorry, Asta, but there's only one crown in November, and the guy who's going to wear it is TJ Shorts. It's him. I mean, and I feel, you know, the MVP always has to be someone who, you know, not only delivers on court, but also creates something bigger for the whole team, right? And 8-0 for Paris, the newcomer, is just crazy.
No one saw that coming. Yeah,
no.
8 wins in a row. It's crazy.
No, not really, man. I mean, I remember the game we were trying to play boxing one against him. So you can just tell by our decision of defense, the good player that he is. I feel like, I mean, he's very tough. It's very tough to guard because he's super shifty and super fast. And I feel like he can play like 40 minutes and play every possession on offense for them. So I already know how he does it, but he's very tough to guard. Also because he has a very good pull-up jumper and all kind of finishes at the rim. Usually, like when people like are like as small as him, it's very tough to finish at the rim against all these huge guys. But he does it, and he does it very well.
Yeah, you said crazy confidence, and you know, everything is working out. You have everyone in the roster stepping up, so maybe we can use this as a transition to look at your team at Alba a little bit, because as you said, you put it nicely, is that you have trouble with a couple of injuries. I think it's still 8 players at this point, which is crazy. I don't think I've ever seen a team struggling with that many guys out. But you, on the other hand, have a couple of guys who have been stepping up, who have been filling the shoes of those missing. Maybe we can have a closer look at, for example, Giga Samar and Malte Delo. What do you feel have they been doing for Alba, for keeping the head over the water?
Go start first by saying everybody like is everybody's great as a person. Everybody works super hard. And they are hard workers, and they bring very good energy to the team. And you know, defense, they both do some little stuff that maybe you don't usually see in the stats, but it's something that really helps the team defensively and offensively. I mean, I feel like we've struggled with like a lot. This is the first time that happens also in my little career that you have so many guys out. But for sure, like some of us can use this also as a tool, like to get a little more confidence, a little more feel for the game, as me, as everybody else had been playing a little more, you know. And so, I mean, stacking up minutes, for sure, it feels pretty good. But we got to start thinking about wins too, because it's, you know, it's already been a couple rounds, and we got to start about winning too.
You just said TJ Shorts dropped 50 the other day. It was, by the way, hard finding out stuff about you, my guy. But I had a friend telling me that you had two games in your youth time dropping 70 plus in two games. So maybe yeah. it's time for that, maybe.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like up to this point right now, I don't really know how I was capable to do that. And I mean, for sure, I wasn't passing the ball at all. That's for sure. But yeah, it happened once where I dropped 78 and we won 84-81. I was like 12. And then we had the final of this little tournament, let's say. I remember it was the final and I dropped 77 and we lost 81-84 or something like this. And then I remember I wasn't good at doing interviews and somebody interviewed me. It was probably my first one. And they asked me what happened, like why did you guys lose? And I said because we didn't play as a team. I played by myself. And then I see it right now and I say like what did I say? Like why did I say it that way?
But made a lot of friends that day for sure.
Oh yeah, somebody was at me for sure for that interview.
The but whole team, bro.
I apologize to them from this podcast.
Guys, let's move on, especially a question to the girls. Sorry, I have been asking so many questions to Mateo. How have you girls actually watched El Clásico last week?
I would say the atmosphere in Barcelona is nothing special. Sorry, but you cannot compare with Greece, with Serbia or Lithuania. But in terms of basketball, it's just wow, because El Clásico derbies always delivers emotions, drama, intensity, like Spanish basketball elements like flopping or just crying. Sorry also for that. But like I've always enjoyed.
Shots fired.
And I think that these derbies are a little bit underrated. Do you agree with that?
I don't feel like they're underrated. I feel like they're actually really highly rated, don't you feel? I loved everything around it and I felt everyone, especially in Barcelona, had a really like big excitement prior to the game. How do you think they're underrated?
Because like Greek or Serbian derbies are always, I don't know, we talk a lot about them in Lithuania. And like I know that I feel that you can always have a really, really good quality of basketball. Like you cannot be disappointed with El Clásico. What do you think, Alex?
I agree with you, speaking in basketball terms, in terms of the game, because to be honest, in Serbian Derby this year, Serbian Derby, the first one, maybe we didn't see as much basketball quality as we wanted to see or as much as we used to see earlier before the last season or things like those, you know. But in speaking about atmosphere, maybe the hype is bigger around Serbian or Greek Derby. But that's the hype. I mean, that's the atmosphere. That's a good one. To be honest, for me, sometimes I want to see a derby game with no atmosphere as in Belgrade. So for me, it was a perfect game in terms of basketball things and also in terms of the atmosphere. I need to say that.
Interesting. I mean, I was there, right? And somebody told me before I got into Palau Blaugrana that I should pay attention to like the sound, because it has a really crazy, I don't know if it's the static, but if you say something, you will hear the echo like crazy.
It's acoustic. So, yeah, it's acoustic one. Yeah.
Yes, it's wild. So, you know, as I was sitting there, fourth quarter, first overtime, double overtime, I actually like felt stressed because everyone was, you know, getting into cheering more. Everyone was whistling. Everyone was shouting. So I felt the noise. So I can't really say that it was not as exciting atmosphere wise, but well, maybe we should speak a little bit about the performance on court then. Mateo, are you still a Madridista at heart?
That's a good question. I mean, I have a lot of love from uh, from for Madrid, for the club, and for everybody, because that's when and where I made a step up to start my young career. I'm not saying who I was rooting for in the game, but for me it was the Madrid Barça game. I always try not to miss it. It always delivers, that's for sure. Maybe like as you said, the Serbian derby, it's we know how fans are in Serbia, so they're crazy. It's super hyped and stuff. But I feel like El Clásico is also, I saw one of the best games I've seen so far in the other day, and it was I had so many emotions also, like from watching in the couch, and I can't even imagine for the people that were there. So I mean, I really, really, really enjoyed watching the game. It was crazy.
I would love to ask Mateo actually, what was his first feeling when he used to play against Partizan and Zvezda for the first time? Were you like, I didn't sign up for these guys, like I don't want to be here? Or you were like, I can't wait to step out of the court?
Me personally, as a player, before the game, I'm always a little nervous. Like, but I feel like it's good nervousness, because the time where I step on the court, then everything, like, I just release it. But for sure, when I was coming out the tunnel from, like, to go to the Partizan court, and I started thinking twice about my decision of playing basketball. No, but I mean, it was a shock for me to see something like this, because I've always watched it through the TV, but leaving it, feeling the court, you can feel like on the floor that the people that step on the court, and when you shoot free throws, it's crazy. And but as soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, like this is crazy, this is amazing. It just became some kind of motivation. You gotta be like a very tough player to play for Partizan and against Partizan, or against Red Star, or with Red Star. So, I mean, you got to show up, you got to show your confidence, or you're not going to be able to do anything at all.
Asta, you also mentioned, the Greek derbies, the Greek atmosphere. There was something else going on pretty big in this round. It was Spanoulis's debut with Monaco as a Monaco coach for the first time. How did you guys, experience that? How did you guys see him? What's your opinion on him taking the next step in his career?
Yeah, Spanoulis' debut for me felt like something from a movie. Like, he arrives by the helicopter to the French Riviera, then takes over the team. Yeah, then wins in the legendary Oaka. So it's crazy. I really hope that Monaco is creating some kind of documentary. And you saw his calmness, because he's an emotional guy and he looked so calm. So yeah, it will be very interesting to watch him in the next games.
Alex, what do you think?
Well, Spanoulis is my favorite player ever in the EuroLeague, in Europe.
No way.
Yeah, I need to say
cool.
That. Yeah. And I was in Piraeus at the jersey ceremony for him at the end of his playing career, like last summer, and it was something special for me, to be honest. And now it is something special. The whole process of him becoming a really good coach is really special for me, and I get emotional every time when I speak about that, to be honest, because I think I'm lucky to have a privilege to watch him as a player, one of the best in the Europe ever, and now watching him as a coach, it's really something special for me.
What do you think, Mateo? What it's like? Or you have to imagine it's not the same situation for you, but having someone like a Greek legend like that becoming a coach to a player like you.
Yeah, I mean, he's my EuroLeague GOAT too, and I have as
oh
a player,
God.
I've always watched his videos, like every move that he makes, every game that he played. So, I mean, I really root for him as a player, and I do as a coach. I mean, I think he knows too much. I mean, he's too good at basketball and he knows so many situations, and he can... I saw something that he said that really really stuck in my mind. It's really stuck in my mind. He said something about the pressure. He said that the real pressure is when you can't bring food to the table, like for your kids or you know for the people who you love, and that's how he described the pressure that he has as a coach in Monaco, and. I feel like if he has this kind of this mentality right here, he's unstoppable as he was as a player, as a coach also.
I like the quote that the pressure is the privilege. I just hear that from one coach, so I always remember that the pressure is always a privilege.
What makes him your goat?
I mean, just his style of playing. I gotta say also the aura that he created also like in games, and everybody knew when he was playing that he was the main guy, and just overall the style of playing. And every time I shoot a shot like a side step back, I always say like Spanoulis or something like this, you know, also with my friends and stuff. And he's iconic. He's a legend. That's why.
Love that. Let's have a look now at Lithuania, because there have been incredible and exciting things going on as well. Not only, you know, with the team, but maybe we should shine light on one specific guy in green right now. Fire away.
Yeah, Lonnie Walker. For Žalgiris, he's more than just a player. He is a game changer. And I think you would also agree that he's one of the best perimeter players in EuroLeague. And you know all our fans are calling him a luxury to have on the roast. And yeah, and not only fans, but our experts in our 1,000 podcast in Lithuania asking questions like, what is this guy doing in Žalgiris? He's too good for us. Like, we still can't believe that he's playing in Žalgiris. So... there's no doubt that he is NBA material, yeah, but the big question is how long he will stay with us. Because you can hear in Lithuania, like saying or joking, like, okay, Christmas and then bye-bye to Walker. We will see, but what I'm sure about is that Trinkieri and Žalgiris scouts, they are trying to prepare for this, for his possible departure. Because, you know, like they are actively monitoring the market, because without Walker, everything will turn upside down. So let's hope that's not going to happen. He's an amazing guy, and it's a privilege to have him here in Lithuania.
Is he happy, though? Is he feeling good within the team? Is he feeling at home or, you know, at least comfortable in Lithuania?
Yeah, he's happy here. So, but we will see. I really hope he's going to stay till the end of the season.
Alex, do you have an eye on Lonnie?
Yes, and I think about those guys in such teams as Žalgiris or Zvezda or Partizan can be the key factor. So, yes, it's pretty decisive. Is he going to stay in Žalgiris or no? But I hope to see him being a really game changer in Žalgiris, but also in the whole EuroLeague. So maybe we need to give him a little bit of space and time to adapt better to the competition. But for now, I think he's doing great.
Mateo, what's your take?
He's good in mostly like every part of the game. He can shoot threes and he is a crazy athlete. Like... probably right now one of the best athletes in the EuroLeague, as we saw from the dunk. And I remember also like his first game didn't really go as well as everybody thought, mostly, but I was 100% sure that he just needed something like to get his rhythm, and he'll be dominating, because He has basically all the tools. He's super explosive, and they found a way to give rhythm and for other players also to step up in some games. So I mean, I feel like the team will be good in both ways. For sure, for the guys from Žalgiris, they for sure want him to stay. So I hope for you guys, the Ristas.
We haven't spoken about the two Serbian teams yet, but they have been playing really great rounds. And obviously the derby was crazy as well. Alex, what's the update from Belgrade?
Well, yeah, after the derby, you know, we always speak about changing the momentum of the teams that won or lost the derby. But now speaking about Partizan got Karlik Johns playing really, really, really good. He took the leader role of the team by himself, which is very good. When he's not scoring or not having very good shooting night, he's there to pass a lot, to make his teammates better. And I think he did a really, really good job against Olympiacos. Maybe he didn't have such a good shooting night in that derby game, but against Olympiacos, he was there. He showed up and he really made all his teammates really, really better on the court. And one thing that is also important about Partizan, that Brandon Davies finally showed up. And that was something that fans really waited for a long, long time, like from the start of the season. But Željko Obradović was the key guy there, as always. He gave him a lot of confidence, a lot of space, a lot of minutes on the court. You know, when you have patience and when you're smart enough to give him time and space, then you got the result. So I think that derby win for Partizan was very, very important. And that's something also that we spoke before derby. So yeah, it's always like that. Like Serbian derby can change a lot. On the other hand, we have Zvezda. They bounced back against Bayern Munich and it was very important for them to see the reaction. I think coaching staff and Yanis Veropoulos did a great job scouting the whole team of Bayern. And they totally closed Carson Edwards. They played a lot from the low post, which can be a decisive moment when you're playing against Bayern Munich with a lot of switching and things like those. So they show a spectacular game in Belgrade Arena.
For sure. And very excited to see the next round as well. Maybe we can have a look.
First, we play Virtus. We have, you know, double round. And it'll be a special game for me, too, because, you know, a couple of family members are coming to watch the game. And then we have Monaco, which is 2 days after, so it'll be a big week for us. But we'll try to get into the rhythm that we're missing, and you know, just play hard and play fast, play how we want to play, and we gotta try to win the game.
Real and Fener are going to be another matchup, the rivalry series game of this week. So everyone make sure to tune in for that one. Žalgiris FS Asta, anything we should look out for?
I think there's still no update for Larkin status. Yeah. So if Larkin is unavailable, so I'm pretty sure Žalgiris will be the strong favorites to win this one.
Mm-hmm. And then Partizan, yeah. Panathinaikos, Alex?
I think they're not going to have Papa Petru on the court, maybe Kendrick Nunn also. So, yeah, if there is no update about that, I think Partizan have chances, yeah.
So that's some of the matchups that we're going to look out for. If your favorite matchup hasn't been in there in the mix yet, make sure to still watch it on EuroLeague TV or your local broadcaster. And yeah, guys, that's it for now. So excited, and Mateo, for you to be on the show. This was really fun. I hope we're all hoping for you to drop another 78 anytime soon. We're rooting for you for sure.
I will, I promise. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mateo.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing, not only about your league and friends, but all the other amazing content that's put out there. But yeah, make sure to tune in next week. Stay safe and see you very soon.
See you.